Defense Secretary Ash Carter said today that Haji Iman, described as the finance minister for ISIS, was among several of the group's leaders killed this week by U.S. special forces in Syria. Today's announcement follows the attacks in Brussels, for which ISIS was quick to take credit. And that prompted a torrent of criticism against President Obama. In Argentina on Wednesday, the president defended his strategy against ISIS.
There's no more important item on my agenda than going after them and defeating them.
Republicans like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz say that is just not true. Here's Cruz on Tuesday, hours after the attacks in Belgium.
They have declared their intention to murder as many innocents as possible. And it is long past time that we had a president who will acknowledge this evil and utilize the full force and fury of the United States to defeat radical Islamic terrorism, to defeat ISIS.
Seth Jones is director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the RAND Corporation. And Seth, the U.S. has conducted thousands of airstrikes against ISIS. It's training Iraqi forces. There are special ops troops on the ground carrying out raids like the one that killed the finance minister this week. But critics like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump point to Brussels and they say it's not enough. What do you say?
I mean, I think the data is not very encouraging. The organization has expanded in geographic territory from the Iraq-Syria location, where it really has been the strongest, into West Africa with Boko Haram, which is now an ally, North Africa, controlling territory in Libya and along the Mediterranean coast, into neighboring Egypt, where it has an ally in the Sinai, in South Asia, where its ally ISIS Khorasan holds territory in Nangarhar province. It's been involved in attacks in Yemen and Saudi Arabia with cells. It's got some supporters in places like Somalia and in the Pacific. So across the board in geographic locations and attacks, and that includes Europe and North America, it is growing stronger rather than weaker. So the lines of effort have clearly not been effective in weakening the organization.
But just to play devil's advocate, because the White House would say and has said that 40% of the Islamic State's territory has been taken back from the group in Iraq. Just today, there is word from Syria that government forces are on the edge of Palmyra, the ISIS stronghold there. Are you saying that that's not true or that's not the big picture?
I'm saying not to focus entirely on a couple of trees, but the forest here is that ISIS has expanded in a number of areas. Its number of attacks has increased, number of supporters has increased. In Iraq right now, ISIS does appear to have lost some ground. It's lost ground, particularly in Al-Anbar province. It does control a number of urban centers, including Mosul, which are going to be very difficult for the Iraq government and its allies, including the U.S., to take back. But it is losing ground in Iraq. The problem is we don't see it losing ground anywhere near to those levels in Libya, in Syria, in Afghanistan, particularly in eastern Afghanistan, and in a number of other locations where it's gained adherents rather than lost them.
Well, let's listen to another piece of tape. This is Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, the former presidential candidate, on the Today Show.
If you don't destroy them on the ground, this continues. Another 9/11 is coming here. It's being planned as I speak in Syria.
Seth, I think this gets to a bigger issue that I want to ask you about. And that's that the establishment foreign policy belief has been that if the United States does not project a strong position in the world, that we appear weak, and that by appearing weak, we could invite more attacks against the United States. I think that's what Lindsey Graham is implying there. What do you make of that argument?
I think the issue is less about whether the U.S. appears to be weak or not. I mean, that's a pretty subjective comment. I think the issue is whether the U.S. can demonstrate that it's winning, and winning against these extremists. First of all, demonstrating that they are a small subset of extremists. And second of all, that demonstrating that the U.S. is winning, U.S. and its allies are winning. That, I think, is the most important issue. And that will keep, I think, will blunt some of the attraction to ISIS, because they have this narrative that they're winning, that they've defeated the U.S. and its allies in Iraq, that they've expanded their control. And that has helped encourage individuals from Europe to North America to Australia to the Caucasus, the Russians have been concerned about, to go fight in Iraq and Syria.
But there's a fundamental issue here that I think shapes President Obama's strategy on ISIS. And that's he has said over and over again that ISIS does not pose an existential threat to the United States. Now, there's people like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump who are running for president for the Republicans who fundamentally disagree with him. And this issue is something that's very important when you talk about United States foreign policy with ISIS. Who's right, do you think? Is ISIS an existential threat to the United States?
Look, the U.S. has a number of adversaries. It is certainly dealing with the Chinese in the Asia-Pacific region. It's dealing with the Russians, including Russian concerns about a move into the Baltics. But one thing that ISIS and al-Qaeda do is they are plotting and encouraging attacks against the U.S. homeland, something we don't see with the major state actors like the Russians or the Chinese, even really the North Koreans or the Iranians. So ISIS, in that sense, and al-Qaeda do pose a threat to the U.S. homeland and to U.S. allies in Europe. That is, they are plotting, actively plotting attacks to kill civilians in those locations. That does make ISIS a major threat. Now, what we've seen with ISIS is the numbers of people killed have been relatively small compared to, say, 9/11. But still, the fact that we have these plots and attacks in the U.S. and across Europe does indicate that the threat is real to those locations.
And that may be why candidate Ted Cruz has been calling for carpet bombing of ISIS. But take the politics out of it for just a minute. In your opinion, what is the best strategy that the United States can take?
You really need to retake the control of territory. And it needs to be done in a way that that's helpful over the long run in developing some kind of governance capacity in the area, whether it's Libya, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Syria, that will keep these kinds of groups from trying to reestablish sanctuaries. So the strategy, I think, needs to put together adequate military, diplomatic, development, and financial resources to doing that. I think, really, you're talking about upping U.S. military training, military targeting, diplomatic efforts in a number of these countries. They clearly have not been sufficient.
Military targeting, what do you mean by that? More airstrikes, more specific airstrikes, boots on the ground?
Military targeting ISIS in areas that it does control, so infrastructure that it has, training camps that it has across Libya and Syria and Iraq, but also training forces on the ground that can retake that territory.
Seth, we're having this conversation, and I'm just thinking to myself, what does all of this matter, this conversation about President Obama's strategy? Because we have an election in November, we'll have a new president in January. What does the strategy of President Obama truly matter at this point?
This is partly putting the struggle against ISIS. And again, it's just as much, frankly, political and ideological as it is military, putting it on the right track so that it can be handed off to, because the issue is, we have America's security at stake here, both in the homeland and with its allies overseas. And I think that the current president can put this struggle on the right track, because what you don't want to see is the ISIS threat expanding in geographic location in Africa, the Middle East, South Asia, the Pacific, in Europe, and in the U.S. homeland, so that what the next president has to deal with is a worse situation than what exists today. I think that's what the current president should be focusing on.
And you don't think if a Republican is elected to the White House in November that they'll just rip up the playbook like they've promised to do on so many other Obama initiatives?
The interesting part here is the vast majority of individuals that are struggling against ISIS right now in the United States government, in the State Department, in the military, in the intelligence community, the National Counterterrorism Center, CIA, in the U.S. Agency for International Development will all be there. So the sort of ground troops, diplomatic, military, intelligence will be there for the next president. But I think the ground troops in the U.S. government will continue to play an incredibly important role no matter who the next president is. And they're the ones that are going to have to execute it. And so you're not going to see mass defections from the U.S. government apparatus with a new president. You're just going to see some changes at the top.
Seth Jones, director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. Seth, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.